The Environment, Natural Resources, Policy and Finance Committee to order. I don't think we have any minutes. We all signed a sheet. But first of all, we have donuts today. We always have coffee, but we have donuts in honor of Representative Eklund, who is here. So Representative Eklund, welcome to the committee. Let's all give him first a round of applause. Welcome. Representative Eklund, if you could tip the mic towards you and tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm a lifelong resident of International Falls, Minnesota, and when I say that, people ask me, have you lived there your whole life? I said, yes, since I've been four, so I'm almost a native up there. So anyway, I was born and raised there, graduated from Falls High School. When I graduated in 1976, I went in the Marines for 3 years. And then when I came out, I went to college for a while until I decided that college wasn't for me, and I went to work for Voyageurs National Park as a maintenance worker. And since then, I've been working Boise paper for, since 1979, so 27 years. I'm a machine tender on the paper machine. I've worked on a lot of environmental issues for the mill over the years. Spent time both here at the legislature and down out in Washington, D.C. I'm a past union president of the United Steelworkers, and been married for 30-plus years. I have 3 grown children, and I'm happy to be here. So.
Congratulations. You've got some really big shoes to fill. I can't remember, Representative Hackbarth, we have not met probably since we lost our friend, have we? No. Yeah, it's hard for us to believe how fast time comes. But for those of you, I think everybody here knows that we lost an unbelievable friend. And Representative Hackbarth, it's probably appropriate that that chair is empty today because he always seemed to sit on that end chair over there, Representative Eklund. And it's going to be sad to have him gone. It was a huge hole for all of us, and it was a tough day up there in International Falls. It was kind of cool. The governor and one of your fellow employees, a fellow member of our chair, the Lessard Sams, actually, Mayor Anderson, gave a great part of that eulogy. So we all miss him, and he'll be in our thoughts a lot as we move forward through this committee this year. He's the kind of voice we need maybe on that tough issue of Tuesday. He was always kind of a bridge for some of those hard issues and worked well with both sides. So we're going to move forward today, members. We are going to concentrate on bonding bills, and so that's our plan. I think next week we have DNR potentially with their water study, and tell me the word I'm missing, water, what was the study? Thank you. Groundwater threshold report. And they're going to, I think, potentially be here Monday, and then I think we will possibly work on Lessard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council and LCCMR next week if things go, hopefully, forward like that. So any questions from any members today? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just that's a good roadmap. When do we have to be done with moving bills out? Do you know the date on that?
April 1st is our first deadline. Okay. And so that it would be important, members, to get bills introduced if they have to do with our committee so we can get them calendared. We're going to be tight, and so we'll have to be strategic as we go forward, realizing our time is limited. Any other questions, thoughts? I think we'll move first. Thank you, Representative Torkelson. We have 2 new pages. If you ladies could come, why don't you come over by the mic? Maybe I have Representative David's mic there. If you could speak into the mic, tell us your name and where were you before today?
My name is Allison Roble, and before today I was working in Disney World.
I love that. You got it. You have to tell us again, because some of us, you have to talk slow and enunciate, because many of us are old enough to be your grandparents and don't hear very well.
My name is Allison Roble, and my previous job was in Disney World.
Oh, cool. What were you doing there?
I was dressing up as the characters.
Which one?
Pluto and Rafiki.
Allison, you're going to fit in really well here.
Hello, Roberta Opal. I worked a number of legislative sessions in Montana and really enjoyed it. I retired a few years ago, and in the summer, I'm an aquatic invasive species boat inspector for Carver County Parks.
And Roberta, I'm sorry, that was the wrong sex. Roberta, which character do you play at the boat?
Myself.
Okay, thank you. Well, welcome to both of you. We look forward to having you here. Representative Davids, I'd like to move House File 52 to be laid over. And Representative Davids, I'd like to, in the presentation of your bill, I'd like to move an oral amendment that we strike on line 1.6, $2 million, and insert $3.6 million, and on line 1.13, strike $2 million and insert $3.6 to get the bill in the shape the author would like. Any comments on the amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The amendment's adopted. Representative Davids, you have the bill before us. If you or your testifier want to do a presentation, we're allowing 10 minutes for each bill, and if you get in under 10 minutes, that helps.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, for moving the bill and the amendment. And the $3.6 million is the latest number that I have. The DNR will have, there are a lot of numbers floating around, so we might need to be a little bit flexible on that number. But this is seems to be a perennial bill. We have had this passed in previous sessions, signed into law by the governor. And for various reasons, the project has been delayed. And I would say at no fault of the DNR, the DNR has been marvelous on this issue. And I don't think we need to necessarily get in the history. But this is a bill that's very, very familiar to the committee. I think that there are several members on both sides of the aisle that have come down. I want to thank Chairman Torkelson for bringing the committee down. And any time, and I think Representative Hansen's very well familiar with it. I'm not sure what Representative Poppy. I think a lot of the members on both sides of the aisle are very familiar with this project. All it takes, members, is one stop at the Lanesboro Dam and one look at it, and you realize we better fund this. This really needs to be funded because normally a dam will have water going over the top of it. And as Representative Hansen knows, if you look at the Lanesboro Dam, the water goes through it. What could possibly go wrong? When the bonding committees were there, we had our local sheriff, Mr. Tom Kazi, and deputies testify as to their concern. They have emergency plans ready to go in case that dam goes. So this has been funded in the past, and it's pretty straightforward. I would like to point out on lines 1.9, 1.10, so there's no confusion here, that we are waiving the match. There is precedent for that has been done in the past. And so I would really appreciate your consideration. I think I was with Representative Wagenius when the house tour was down there, and there's a very nice flat area down there, and we would like to plant some milkweed down there because it's a natural habitat for the monarch butterfly, which, of course, I'm a great supporter of. And so with that being said, this is a bill that really needs to get done this year. We need to get that dam repaired, and like I said, it's a matter of public safety. I have with me Mr. Kent Lockismo that might walk us through a bit of history, if that's okay, and we will make it under the 10 minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Davids. Mr. Lockismo, if you could identify yourself for the record and give us your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kent Lockismo, I'm the Director of Capital Investment for DNR. And this is a big dam in a small city, and that's why I think you see the request for no local cost share. It has been a burden with the city. This dam was built in 1868. It's a historical structure, which also adds to the cost and makes it more expensive if you're going to keep the existing facade on the dam. Essentially, the project is building a structure behind that existing dam to keep the water from going through it. This is a high hazard dam. High hazard dams are those dams that if they failed, they have the potential for significant damage or loss of life. And it's one of these that's been ignored for a long time, and we certainly need to address the issue. You don't see this dam listed on our dam safety priority list because we funded what we thought at that time was half of the project cost, and the existing statute calls for a 50-50 cost share. So if there's a decision to fund more than that, that's a legislative decision. That's not a decision that I can make. So that's why you don't see it on our dam safety priority list. But it is something that we funded in the past and we believe should be constructed. I think that's really a brief history of the dam. I know you've seen it, or most members have seen it. Now, if there's any specific questions about the program, we do have a little under 800 publicly owned dams. About half of those are owned by the state. The others are owned by local government. So as you waive cost share, I think you need to be cautious about what kind of a precedent you set for going forward. And for this structure, and certainly for high-hazard dams, it's not a terrible precedent.
And if I can ask Director Lacheschmal, if it's a state-owned dam, then there is no local match, or do we require locals to pay part of the cost if it's a state-owned dam?
Mr. Chairman, if it's a state-owned dam, there is no other match.
Okay, thank you. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Davids, I thought you almost moved a tear from your eye there when you were discussing the Monarch. Did I catch that correctly?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Representative Hansen, you did.
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Lacheschmal, on the is there any way that the county could provide the share, the cost? I mean, the river winds through Fillmore County. Is there a way that a local match could be met by the county?
Director Lacheschmal.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, the owner of the dam is the city of Lanesboro. I mean, they're the one that would be responsible under existing law. If there's other entities that wish to help the city, that's certainly a possibility. Typically, in the program, it's just been the owner, and I don't know that they've gotten assistance from other governments or other entities.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Lacheschmal, how large is the watershed that is drained by that outlets into the dam?
Director Lacheschmal.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, I don't know that that number. I'd have to get it and provide it to you. It's relatively large, though.
That would be great. If you could get us that information, that would be good. Representative Hansen,
my point, Mr. Chair, is possibly, a watershed district could be formed. I know in Maurer County and in Freeborn County there have been watershed districts that have been formed that could take some of that responsibility. In my district, a watershed district works on dredging. So, I mean, I think there's a variety of tools that can be used there. One final question for Representative David. So, I think we've looked at this a number of times, and I'm trying to. So, we provided money to repair, but that couldn't be done because it's so far gone. Was there money? Was there replacement money and other bonding bills? Or I'm trying to remember.
Director Lacheschmal, do you want to represent David?
I can certainly handle that one. First of all, before I answer the Hansen question, though, I would say I should have brought the county resolution in the letters of support, of course, from the city, obviously. Those are all in place, and we could get those if anyone's interested in that. What was the question again?
Have we moved this to the governor before? Has it been the replacement? Because I see we funded and signed repair, but apparently it's so far gone. It looks like it's so far gone. We can't repair it. So was the replacement, or was that pre-design and design? I'm just trying to look at what we've done here before.
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, and members. This is something I wasn't going to go back because it gets my blood boiling just a bit because I had this dam fully funded to repair it. It's repairable. It's still repairable as far as that goes. But the State Historical Society came forward and stated that, no, you can't just fix it. It has to be pretty. And so that added a lot of money to the costs. And so that's what slowed us down. That was no fault of the DNR. To the credit of the State Historical Society, they did come up with some funding, but it was far, far short of what was needed. So this has been passed in law, signed by governors, approved by bonding committees in the past. It's for folks that have been here any length of time, it is familiar to them. And so that's what happened. And so we want to You know, they said it had to be done historically accurate and all that kind of stuff, and that's what we're doing with this bill.
Okay, thank you. Representative Neuberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Davids, maybe you could answer this for me quickly. I read here in the notes, what's the current status of the hydroelectric operation, the power plant that you've got that's attached to this? Is that still functioning?
Either one of you, Representative Davids,
Mr. Chairman, Neuberger, yes, it is. And in the plan, they want to keep it functioning. They want to keep the hydroelectric part going. It's kind of a rare, well, it is a rare historical dam, and I just wanted to get it fixed in the past. But that's not the way it's going to happen. There are rules when something's on a National Historic Register, and, of course, we have to abide by those rules. And so that's why the cost has gone up. But, no, that's still a part of the proposal is the hydroelectric power.
Follow-up, Representative Neuberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm glad that you brought this forward, Representative Davids. It seems like we've got dual functions here. If we do have a catastrophic failure of this dam system, then we're also looking at the loss of an important renewable energy source. So I'm glad you're bringing this forward, and I'm glad that we're able to move this. So you have my support on this one.
Thank you. Representative Davids, seeing no other questions, House File 52 is laid over. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members.
Next, Representative Franson, you have House File 1188. Representative Uglem, will you move House File 1188 to be laid over?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair, I do exactly that.
Good morning, Representative France, and welcome to the Environment, Natural Resources, Policy, and Finance Committee. Go ahead with your short presentation.
Good morning, and happy Thursday. You guys are in for a real treat today. Let's see here. In front of you, I believe that you guys all got maps of the little project. A little bit about the West Leaf Lake Dam project. It was built by the WPA in 1937 to control lake level. There's three step log bays, each being 5 feet wide, built on the east end of West Leaf Lake, located 7 miles north of the good town of Henning in Ottertail County. The drain dams into East Leaf Lake, one of my many lakes in my district. And the dam has never, may I repeat, never, as in never ever, been repaired. It's a long time, folks. The condition of the dam. According to the DNR's dam summary sheet, this concrete is in ruinous condition and its weathering loss on the abutments is greater than or more than 4 inches lost what is expected for dams of this area. The concrete also shows signs of structural distress as evidenced by penetration cracking on the abutments. So here's the proposal. The repair of West Leaf Dam is at an estimated cost of $50,000. What a deal compared to some of the other projects you may be hearing. The rationale, although Jason Boyle of the DNR Division of Dams classifies the dam as of low priority, Leaf Lake Area Association feels that the dam repair should be of highest priority for the following reasons. If the dam breaks, many homes and cabins on East Leaf Lake will be flooded, and that is going to be extremely costly for the homeowners of the area. And if the dam breaks, water level on West Leaf Lake will drop drastically, causing loss of lake use because of shallow water. And that, my friends, is the end of my presentation.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative France. And seeing no questions, we appreciate it. And House File 1188 will be laid over.
Thank
Representative
you.
Poppy, I think you're next. Representative Poppy, it looks like House File 2317 is the first of two bills you're going to present. That's the first one in our file.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Yes, 2317 is the first one. And I would like to move that so
for possible
for possible
correct
for laid over
to be laid over thank laid you over. For
thank
correcting
you.
Me
and I do Mr. Chair I apologize but I do have an oral amendment
Representative Poppe moves the following oral amendment.
On line 1.12, after the word vegetation, insert a period and delete the remainder of that line, and line 1.13 should be deleted.
And Representative Poppe, the effect of your amendment is?
There was a study. They were going to do a study of the dams in the city, and that will be taken out. So that will be done separately and not a part of this motion, this bill.
Okay. And thank you, Representative Poppe. Ms. Taylor, do you have that?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The amendment would read on line 1.12, delete everything after vegetation and insert a period, and delete line 1.13.
Okay. Do all the members have that? Let's actually adopt the amendment. All those in favor, any questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The amendment's adopted, and House File 2317 is in the form that Representative Poppe would like to present. Go ahead, Representative Poppe. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate that you're hearing so many dam projects today. But, okay.
Yes, we got it. Good job.
Hello.
Lighten us up.
All right. And I appreciate that you're hearing these. We are, I'm here today with two people from Austin. We have the City Administrator, Craig Clark, and we have, for the Vision 2020, the Waterways Chair, Tim Ruzek. We are fortunate in Austin that we have the benefit of having a very community-active group of people. That we have a number of people that have been participating in what's called Vision 2020. That's a community engagement process that has involved a number of different categories and areas, and waterways is one of them. What I want to do today is just turn it over to Mr. Clark and Mr. Ruzek to actually describe this project, and we're here to answer any questions as well. So I'm going to first have Mr. Clark, the city administrator, talk about the project.
Administrator Clark, if you could identify yourself for the record and who you represent, and go ahead with your testimony.
Welcome. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Craig Clark, City Administrator for the City of Austin.
Go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you. Members, this legislation really builds on previous efforts, and Chair McNamara was critical in having the Cedar River be established as a state water trail. The bill before you, also the 2318, really are kind of two inclusive together. One's tied to the other, but this bill allows for some restoration of the 4th Avenue Dam in Austin, $600,000 to help restore the foundation of the dam and the mill that used to be in this area and convert it to a park. Also allow an ADA portage around the dam. Ahead of this dam is a mill pond that holds a lot of water for the city and flood control. This ties into significant efforts that we've done in the city for flood control, working with the DNR and funds provided from the state, so it builds on those investments of both local and state contribution. It'll allow us to clean up trees through the waterway, as well as bank restoration, and that's essentially the component of what we're asking for in 2317.
Okay, thank you. Chair Ruzek, do you want to identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your presentation?
I'm chair of the Austin Vision 2020 Waterways Committee, and that's been in place since about 2012. Oh, I'm sorry, Tim Ruzek, R-U-Z-E-K.
Go ahead with your testimony. Thank you.
As Mr. Clark testified about, this is the heart of Austin. It's the site of the first mill in Austin, basically where the community was built off of. It's the main water feature in town. We're also building a lot of momentum downtown with the new Spam Museum, possibly a new rec center. And this, in the heart of that area, is to try to restore our history, the remnants of that mill down there, and build off of our city trail system as well. And put in for the first time since we've had the state water trail designation. It was launched in 2012. Have some infrastructure put in as well to help with people using the state water trail. So a portaging system, a ramp above the dam, and then, as Mr. Clark mentioned, a ramp below the dam that would be that would fit the needs of the Americans with Disabilities Act requirements to have that engineered properly. So. To us, it's an important project in many different areas for the community and for Southern Minnesota tourism as well.
Representative Poppe, anything further on 2317 before we take questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the Cedar River State Trail that Chair McNamara was so able. It was wonderful to have you put that in a few years ago to make it a state water trail, which is really...
I think just last year, maybe.
Was it just last year?
It seemed
like it was a couple of years ago,
I
think it was
before.
2013, maybe. Or
okay.
So we do have that... We have been the beneficiary of many dollars from the state for flood mitigation, and we did have the bonding committee come down, Chair Torkelson. Thank you for that tour. So some people know about the area and can be familiar with it, but certainly it is right next to City Hall. It's a significant area, and we'd like to just be able to have this included in the proposal.
Thank you. Any questions? See no questions. Thank you. I think you've got the same testifiers for your next bill. Representative Poppe, House File 2318.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move 2318 to be laid over.
Thank you. Go ahead with your presentation. Your testifiers won't have to identify themselves again. You'll be able to just go ahead. Go ahead.
Thank you. I just will mention again that we do have a lot of local support. And in Austin, we, a number of years ago, began a local option sales tax, and our local option sales tax helps to provide a match for many of the projects that we've done over the years, which are flood hazard mitigation projects. We also have the Hormel Foundation, which has been able to provide significant dollars, and they're integral part of the Vision 2020 effort, and so they have identified that the waterways is one of the areas that we have a need to do some improvement on. So again, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Clark to begin the testimony.
Go ahead, Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Essentially, Maurer County has been blessed with a lot of natural resources as far as agricultural production, but what we haven't been blessed with is natural lakes. Maurer County has no natural lakes in it. This is a mill pond area that's been created by the dam. So essentially, for all intents and purposes, this is our Lake Minnetonka or Lake Vermilion in Maurer County. The SNA Wild States Wild Indigo Science Nature Area Trail. Interestingly, the state only owns half a bridge, if you can imagine that. As part of that, this project would tie those together and provides access to a wildlife management area and just opening up a whole resource to the community. It's, by and large, this area is kind of unrecognized by most folks in Austin, but has a huge potential. Looking back at different historical photos, this was one of the primary recreation areas for the community, and most people that you talk to today in Austin wouldn't even know that it's there as a general rule. The wildlife management area is 395 acres, and what's important in this project, and tied in the one that we talked about previously, is our efforts of flood control that Representative Poppe talked about. The capacity that the Ramsey Mill Pond provides in, as far as flood control represents about 30% of reduction through the flow through the city. To give you an idea of the investment that we've made through our local option sales tax, as well as $8.2 million of DNR funding, the total project to date is a little over $24 million of investment. And that flood control level is dependent upon this dam ahead of the water that comes through the city of Austin. So it's critically important, as you can tell by that kind of percentage of reduction. We'd had to have built the flood control significantly higher than what you see today. So we want to really turn this area into an enhancement, leverage the Hormel Nature Centers up in this area. Just a beautiful untouched area with the SNA trail as well as the wildlife management area has a great potential for regional draw, and we'd really appreciate your consideration in tying it in on the previous efforts that we've made with the state.
Chair Rusick, why don't you go ahead with your testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Vision 2020 has verbal agreements with two landowners right now to acquire about 18 acres of flood-prone land that would go from the Ramsey Dam, where DNR has a boat access ramp right now. There's also some other public land that was acquired through flood mitigation. But acquiring that 18 acres to connect that spot with an abandoned rail bridge that the state owns the east half and the private owner owns the west half. That flood mitigation would incorporate that west half of the bridge. It was installed in 1911, a historic railroad bridge that we would restore into a pedestrian bike trail bridge, an overlook looking north onto the Ramsey Mill Pond area. You know, the SNA starts the west, it runs about 14 miles across Monroe County. The west end of it starts in the middle of that bridge. Right now there is no legal public access to that west edge. You'd have to go across private property. And so this, again, would open up that area. As Mr. Clark mentioned, it is the largest body of water in Monroe County, about 53 water acres. More than half of it's surrounded by 395 acres of WMA land. The other portion of it's surrounded by golf course, so it's a very natural scenery. And it could be a great destination point as the Shooting Star State Trail comes into town, which will be connecting, I believe, later this year with our Hormel Nature Center. So, in working with DNR, if we are able to get this bonding, these bonding funds, we would restore that railroad bridge, pave about 1 mile of the SNA trail to the east, so it where it connects with a county road that then comes down to our nature center, so you can create this regional destination for people using the Shooting Star Trail, our city trail system, the Cedar River State Water Trail, because this Ramsey area is the Cedar River, and then better open up the SNA opportunities, the WMA area, and the boat ramp that the DNR currently owns as well. So the city has generously agreed to annex this land. The county's working through the flood mitigation portion of it, so this would expand off the north edge of town. But some portion of this 18 acres we'd be acquiring could become DNR aquatic management area land as well.
Okay, thank you. Representative Poppy, I think Director Lockerschmall has got some comments on behalf of the DNR. Director, you better identify yourself again.
Thank you. Kent Locke, a small director of capital investment for DNR. And Mr. Chairman, Representative Poppy, I apologize for not knowing this from reading the bill. I couldn't, on House File 2318, both of these dams and each of these bills are privately owned. And I couldn't tell from the bills what work was being proposed on the dams. On House File 2318, I see that they're talking about $1 million for Ramsey Dam improvements. That could not be bonded since they're privately owned. Well, thank you.
Okay, and thank you. Administrator, do you want to?
Yes.
Administrator Clark, go ahead. Give us your testimony.
So, just to clarify, you're saying 4th is not under our ownership? No, 4th Avenue is under city ownership, has been for many years, so we'll certainly work with them and address that. The Ramsey Mill Pond Dam is currently being acquired by the city. Hormel Foods Corporation was the previous owners of that dam, and the city's taking that over. I mentioned 36% of the flow through the city is controlled by holding back that water, so it's critically important for our flood control. So as a result, that's why the city's moved to take over ownership of that dam.
Okay. Thank you, Administrator. And Representative Poppy, why don't you work with Director Lockerschmall so we can clarify that the funding would need to be contingent on public ownership of the dam.
Yeah.
Is that, Director Lockerschmall, maybe on the record, if it either is publicly owned or will be, does it need to be that before it can be considered in the bonding bill? Director.
Mr. Chairman, there's a process in statutes for transfer of ownership to public entities. So they have to go through a permit process with the DNR because there's a potential liability for future state funding if you change from private ownership to public ownership. So there's a process to go through, but it would have to be, I mean, if a bonding bill is passed and includes this, we wouldn't be able to provide a grant to the city until that issue is resolved. And there has to be a report to the legislature on the transfer of ownership, and they have to address that issue.
Okay. Thank you, Director, for bringing that forward. I'm sure Representative Poppy will work with on that issue. Questions? Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Poppy, are both of these part of an overall, maybe I missed this, overall Austin Waterways restoration plan? Is that?
This is true.
Representative Poppy.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, certainly we've talked about flood mitigation over the course of many years in Austin. We've talked about what we've needed to do in the city of Austin in order to remove homes and be able to have more parks because we wanted a place for the water to go. This is expanding that a bit. So it's the waterways restoration is actually a couple of things. One is flood hazard mitigation. It really is about the flow of water into the city. So what we can do to kind of slow that down or to keep that at the level that it's at currently. But it also is to enhance the area. So it's kind of a double benefit. If we can make sure that we don't have water flowing in at a higher rate, we can slow that down, but we also can make it so it's more scenic and more able to be used by the public.
Okay, thank you.
Follow-up? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Poppe, I think I heard you say that you've got a collaborative process where the local constituents have invested their own dollars to leverage additional dollars, and so there weren't waivers of matches, and that there's local leadership that's been invested here to your folks have paid mm-hmm. to and then leveraged additional money from us and the federal government. Maybe just a little detail on that, because I think we're seeing things where instead of bringing people together and looking at additional dollars, it's just let's just waive the rules, and you guys have played by the rules, right?
Thank you.
Representative Poppe.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, yes. The local option sales tax has been in effect for over 10 years, so we've actually been raising money locally to be able to be a match. So as we've had flood hazard mitigation dollars come from the state, we've been able to be the match for that. Our local citizens have done that. We have also had local groups like the Isaac Walton Group. You know, they're very active in our area. They do clean up and beautification and other, you know, they help with the butterflies and they do other things too. They're trying to make sure that we have as scenic as possible of an area. In Austin, we have the Hormel Foundation, and we're unique in an area that has a Fortune 500 company who has a family foundation that for years has been able to provide us with dollars throughout the city to be able to provide for things that their funds have actually grown, and so they were instrumental in helping the citizens of Austin come together for Vision 2020. And so the Vision 2020 has a number of different projects and committees. This is just one of those committees that they're looking at. So, and as Mr. Clark testified, if you haven't been to Austin, it's a great community to go to. And this summer, you can come and see the new Spam Museum, but it's fairly flat. And it doesn't have a lot of other water. We don't have lakes. We do have the Cedar River. We have the Turtle Creek and Dobbins Creek. And that's kind of the flow. We have those three areas of water that come in. And, you know, that helped us to move things along in the early 1900s and was a good thing to have, but then the water started flowing a bit too high, and so that caused some problems. And we are always most appreciative of the state's investment in our community and in our area for flood hazard mitigation. This is really moving beyond just the borders of city and trying to make sure that we expand that and reduce the flow of the water as well.
Thank you. Administrator Clark, go ahead.
Thank you.
Give us your final comment.
Yeah, my city engineer tells me that the 4th Avenue Dam's been owned by the city since the early 1980s, but we'll go back, as I said earlier, and work with the DNR on that, and as well as the Ramsey Mill Pond. As far as the match is concerned, the dollars that have been committed by the local municipality, and certainly Austin's challenge with, I think, about a 20% poverty rate, so part of those challenges, you know, it's been an extraordinary lift for us dealing with the flood control issue, so that's part of the backdrop for the proposals you have before you today.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Representative Poppe. House File 2318 is laid over.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Representative Fabian will move House File 2722. And Representative Fabian, move your oral amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. House File 2722, I do have an oral amendment on that, and I just want to make sure that we get this right. On line 1.21, after the word sand at the very end of the sentence, we need that to be Sand Hill. And then on line 1.22, strike the first word there, lake. And then on line 1.23, after the first word and the comma, district, insert Upper Minnesota River Watershed District.
Thank you, Representative Fabian. Ms. Taylor, do you have that amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair. On line 1.21, after sand, insert hill. And then on line 1.22, delete lake. And then on line 1.23, after the comma, insert Upper Minnesota River Watershed District.
Representative Fabian, any questions to the Representative Fabian oral amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Representative Fabian, you've got your oral amendment. The bill's in the shape you'd like. You moved it, so go ahead with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This kind of follows with Representative Poppy. This is a $26 million appropriation that will be used for flood hazard mitigation grants all around the state of Minnesota. Oftentimes, we, in my part of the state, we concentrate on the Red River Valley, but this is actually going to areas all across the state. You have in your packet, we don't have to go through it, a colored sheet, and maybe Mr. Harnack wants to touch on those a little bit. But what I do want to touch on is the work that's done locally between cities and counties and townships and watersheds to come up with a priority list, working with the Red River Base Management Board and the DNR. I think that they do a very, very excellent job of coming up with the projects that are shovel-ready. And the other thing about these is that they really have the potential to be to have multiple benefits, not just for flood protection. And again, if you've ever heard about some of the things that happened in the small city of Warren over a period of many years, and in my hometown of Roseau and the Fargo-Moorhead area, we actually have made some really, really significant progress in reducing the flood damages. But the other thing that also happens with these projects is it has the potential, when managed correctly, to reduce a tremendous amount of sediments that go into our different rivers, whether it's the Minnesota River or the Red River. Also has the potential to reduce nutrients, you know, the non-point sources of phosphates, for example. We had a vigorous debate and discussion about that last year. These projects can do a tremendous amount of nutrient reduction as well. So I think with that, Mr. Chair, we've been through these a number of times. I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Harnack to maybe just answer some specific questions about projects or make a short presentation.
Do you have comments? You came all the way down here. What, identify yourself for the record and give us your presentation.
Mr. Chairman, Ron Harnack, project coordinator with the Red River Watershed Management Board. And I think Representative Fabian did a nice job of presenting what we're looking at. The list in front of you, if each of you have that, I think, reflects a lot of accomplishments that we've achieved over the last number of years in terms of reducing the risk to our local communities. We have a number of them that are left, and I think a strong appropriation this year will allow us to get at a number of the other priorities that you see on the list. In addition, it's not just the communities, but it's holding the water on the land. And the watershed approach to dealing with these can make a significant difference. And the multi-benefits that come out of it in terms of water quality in particular, as well as habitat in solving our flooding problems, I think goes a long ways to showing that we can locally do what needs to be done to solve some of these flooding problems. The numbers that you see here are also leveraged by equal amount of local dollars and, in some cases, federal dollars. So we ask for your continued support, as you have in the past, and appreciate your recommendations
Thank
going
you.
Forward.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Fabian. I have a kind of a similar question or comment as I had with Representative Poppy. It looks like
your constituents and the constituents in the Red River Valley have formed watershed districts where they can provide the local match for these issues. And it seems that when we're going to get a handle on water quantity and water quality issues, that watershed approach. So I think the model works fairly good in the Red River Valley, where you've got watershed districts that can levy and then put the money forward. I'd like to see that in the Minnesota River Valley. We've spent about 20 years on a basin efforts, but if we actually had watershed districts within the Minnesota River like we had in the Red, then we could have that local leadership that was there. And it seems like you've got local leadership in the Red that's willing to levy and put the money up to help gather more dollars, and even federal money in your case. Any comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm not super familiar with the Minnesota River watershed and drainage area and so forth and the people down there, but I can speak to what works for us in northwest Minnesota and Red River Valley. And the managers and so forth have been down here, the county commissioners, the watershed boards. And, you know, I continue to be impressed with how well they do work together to establish their priority lists and to do the things that these projects do. And as Mr. Harnack and myself have said and others have said, the multiple benefits that come from these beyond flood protection are really significant when managed correctly. And we pointed out the wildlife habitat and, you know, water quality, water quantity, phosphate reduction, sulfates, sediment. It really is, in terms of what we're trying to accomplish and the governor's goals and so forth with regards to water quality, you can make a strong case for this being as efficient use of state dollars as any that we spend around here, you know, when you consider the local match and the multiple benefits.
Thank you. See no other. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Hausman. Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe this is a question for Mr. Lacasmo, whether all past funds have been encumbered from 2014 and 2015.
Director Lacasmo, why don't you come down? I think you heard and you're looking. Representative Hulsman's question. Probably better identify yourself again.
Mr. Chairman, Kent Lacasmo, Director of Capital Investment for DNR. And
Representative Hulsman, you need to repeat it? Maybe you should. No, you got it. Okay, hold on.
Yeah, I think on the colored sheet that you have, it shows the amount of awarded dollars in the third column from the left for 2014, which is $12 million has been awarded. And in 2015, essentially all of it's been awarded. That's the total amount, $23
million. And then
Representative Hausman.
Just one more question, if I could. Because you're usually pretty clear about these, you give us one amount that's actually ready in 2016, but your request is slightly beyond that. Do we need an update of this, or
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Hausman, are you asking if they jacked it up so they'll get at least what they need?
Well, I'm looking to see what's ready in 2016, and he's usually pretty accurate about those and updates them. But
Director Lacken,
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hausman, this sheet shows the projects that DNR is aware of. And it hasn't, it provided some priorities on the community projects. And our initial request, our preliminary request for bonding this year was for $15 million from DNR. And as you know, the governor recommended $3.5 million, which would do Montevideo and part of the Halstead project. So the demand, I think, as has been indicated, is significantly more than that. The $26 million is Representative Fabian's number based on these projects.
And
Mr. Harnack.
And Mr. Chairman and Representative Hausman also, is in working with the communities and putting this together, we were looking at basically the big bonding bill being more than just a 1 year. And so we looked at some of that potential of reaching beyond just the 1 year perspective with the 26 as well.
Follow up, Representative Hausman?
No.
Thank you. Representative Fabian will lay over House File 27.
Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Johnson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a detail on the amendment that you offered. I'm looking at this document, and it says it refers to the Sandhill River Watershed District, and Sandhill River, Sandhill is one word. And on the amendment, if I wrote my notes correctly, I wrote to add the word hill on line 1.22 and not add the word river. And it seems that, you know, let's get it right today is my thought.
Ms. Taylor?
Mr. Chair, members, if we did want to make the correction today, what you'd want to do is on line 1.21, delete sand and insert sand hill, one word.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Johnson moves the following oral amendment, what Ms. Taylor just said. Discussion. Representative Johnson.
And also the word river?
And also the word river. Everybody cool? Okay.
Maybe it doesn't matter. I don't know.
All in favor, go ahead, Mr. Harnack. All in favor, say aye. 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 Opposed, nay. That oral amendment's adopted. Ms. Taylor's got it. Representative Fabian, you want to wrap it up?
It's wrapped, sir.
Okay, thank you. House File 2722 is laid over. Representative Fabian, you have the next bill. House File 2685 will be laid. Well, you move it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move House File 2685 to be laid over.
Rock and roll, Fabian.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a request for $187,000 for an appropriation, which would be a match to dollars that are coming from North Dakota. For those of you that have been in the Red River Valley, you know about the little tiny town of Oslo, Minnesota. It's literally a city that sits right on the bank of the Red River, and the population is about 330 people, has a ring dike entirely around the city. And from a few miles south of the city of Oslo to 15, 20 miles north of Oslo, the topography really flattens out. There's not much drainage there. And when you take a look at a map of that 20-mile stretch of the Red River, the number of bends and twists and turns in the river is incredible. So the flow of water through that area really becomes a problem, and flooding is something that just seems to go on and on and on. And in essence, what we're trying to do in this project here is to work with the local townships and managers and counties and so forth and landowners, looking at ways to address the continuing issues in that 20-mile stretch of water. So what we're really going to be doing with this is trying to come up with a detailed modeling and to look at various alternatives, including lowering of east and west township roads and acquisitions of buildings and modifying and or eliminating floodway obstructions and channel obstructions, trying to provide better access to the major highways. Highway 1 comes into Oslo from the east, and during high water, Highway 1 is closed because you can't get into town. If you've ever seen any aerial photos of Oslo during the flood of 97 and so forth, it is completely surrounded by water, and the only way in is by boat. So that's basically what we're asking for. I know Mr. Harnack has been working closely with different groups in the area. I've sat in on some meetings, the BTAG group and so forth, listening to their concerns. And we're just trying to come up with some solutions.
Thank you. questions on House File 2685? See none. Thank you for your presentation, Representative Fabian.
Thank you,
Mr. Harnack. Thank you for coming down. Representative Uglum, we have House File 1510. Why don't you move your bill, Representative Uglum?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have one small oral amendment.
Go ahead. Representative Uglum moves House File 1510 to be laid over. Go ahead with your oral amendment.
Mr. Chair, on 1.12, I'd like to strike the wording up to and insert of. It's just a typographical.
Ms. Taylor, do you have it?
Yes, okay. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Uglum moves his oral amendment. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That amendment's adopted. The bill's in the shape you'd like. Representative Uglum, go ahead with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I think many of you are familiar with the Champlain Mill Pond Restoration Project. I'd like to refer to the handout in your packet. Both bonding committees did visit this project last summer. a little background. You know, Champlin's really not a suburb. Champlin is an old city that grew up around the Mill Pond, which is the intersection of Elm Creek and the Mississippi River way back in the 1800s. So this area has a lot of significance for the city and is currently under renovation in many respects. The bill itself provides for $3.3 million. That's the project request. And what's really important about this is we do have a $1 million local match, and we have been funded by the LCCMR for $2 million. This is part of a project that will provide better recreational opportunities for the area and also provide for much better environmental issues. Going back a little bit, the city's been doing a lot of work. In 2012, we did upstream restoration of Elm Creek. That was a joint city and Elm Creek watershed project. So we're set to go there in terms of any sediment or anything else that would come down further. I guess really what I'd like to tell you, I think what's very important is that this project has been backed by all the local players, the Isaac Walton League, the LCCMR, the City of Champlin, the Elm Creek Watershed District, Hennepin County Environmental Services and Resources, the West Mississippi Watershed Commission, all the local property owners, and the Anoka Area Chamber. I'd like to refer you also to the DNR's letter, which is in the back of your packet, and the DNR has been gracious enough, and this goes back to the history of the Mill Pond, where it once was a very viable recreation source and fishery. But DNR Fisheries, please accept this letter of support for the City of Champlin proposal for the restoration of the Northern Gateway to the City of Champlin Phase 2. And they go on to say, we feel this proposal addresses a need to improve water quality, restore fish and wildlife habitat, improve fishing and recreational opportunities for the community. And we have a commitment from the DNR to restore the fishery, which at one time was a very important fishery to the city. All the engineering has been done on this project. The upstream improvements in phase one I spoke to. Environmental soil borings have been done by our engineering firm. The project is shovel ready and could be started right away. It has a companion bill in the Senate carried by Senator Hoffman, and the governor's office is aware of this and has indicated to Senator Hoffman that they support it also. I stand for any questions.
Thank you, Representative Ubin. Questions, members? Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There are a couple of bills like this, and we visited a number of them, and we've talked a little bit about prevention. You know, once we've done this, how do you prevent the same cycle from happening? Is that part of the engineering?
Representative Hausman, yes, it is, and I'd refer you to the handout on the 2012. It's about page 6, I believe, the Elm Creek stabilization project that was done. We've done that, a lot of riprap, shoreline stabilization, bank stabilization, and things like that. Engineering is confident that there's not going to be any future problems. We wouldn't bring this project before you unless we were sure that was the case.
Other questions, members? Representative Uglin, I have a question on the restoration of the fishing. Can you give us any kind of idea what the plan would be there?
Representative Fabian, sorry, no muskies, but the fisheries, yeah, I know. the fisheries, we're looking at bluegills, bass, and northerns, and the fisheries design, if you will, is is we want to mitigate any carp situations that could occur. And bluegills, of course, are known for eating carp eggs. And so we feel that we can really come up with something very special with this project.
Thank you. And then and one other, I think, two quick questions. And I was talking to Mr. Meyer up here when you first started. I'm curious to know about, right now it's a sediment issue, a lot of sediment in the lake. In terms of upstream, what are measures that are being taken that you know of to reduce the inflow of sediment?
Yes, on page 4 in your handout, the suspended sediment loads that were present. This really happened in the 1970s to our mill pond with the upstream development in Rogers and other areas like that. We've measured the suspended solids and everything else that have gone down there since the bank stabilization projects that we've done upstream, and they dropped precipitously.
And upon completion, what would be the maximum depth of the pond?
Over 20 feet.
Okay, thank you. Members, anything else? Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really like this project, Representative Uglum. I'm wondering what method do you know, and if you don't, that's okay, but in order to increase the depth, are we going to be using a pumping process, or are we going to be using dredging in the traditional context? Any idea what that might be?
Yes, thank you.
Representative Uglum.
Representative Heintzman. We will be utilizing mechanical means to remove the sediment that's in there. There's about 4 feet of sediment currently in the mill pond, and underneath that is beautiful sand bottom, and that's what we're looking for. There is a map in here a little further back that shows you the depths, and we also plan to put in rock beds for fish so they can congregate and things. But on page 10, you can see the depth charts there from our engineering firm, and we would be dredging some of that, and then also we're hoping to sell a little of the sand out of the project too for the city.
Representative Heintzman, follow up?
No, thank you.
Representative Uglum, another question that kind of comes off of this. When the sediment's removed, where does that go? What's the process for disposing of the sediment? And how extensive could that be?
Representative Fabian, the soil borings and everything that the city has done and the engineering firm has done have indicated that there is absolutely no contaminants, no hazardous materials, which really amazes me, but that's the case. And they can be disposed of in a normal manner, in a normal landfill or whatever. So we're really fortunate that in essentially now a metro area that we don't have any hazardous materials in this project.
Anything else, members? Hearing none, we'll renew the motion to for House File 1510 to be laid over. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you,
opposed? Next up, Representative Torkelson, House File 1473.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move House File 1473, move to be laid over.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye. Oh, I'm sorry, proceed. Yep.
Oh, well, that'd be very quick, Mr.
Yeah.
Chair.
I know your bills are always good, so.
This bill relates to Lake Redwood, which is adjacent to the city of Redwood Falls. It's a project to improve the lake. It's a man-made lake that has filled in to the point where it's virtually unusable. There has been 21 years of work has gone into the watershed, which is quite large, to diminish the amount of sediment flowing into the lake. estimated at one time to be 1.5 feet per year. Estimates from the DNR now put it at less than 10% of that, at 0.13 feet per year. So once this project is done, the lake will maintain its depth for approximately 70 years. This also involves a hydroelectric project that's already been completed, actually. They do have a new hydroelectric generator at the base of the dam, but the efficiency of that generator has been diminished by the fact that the lake is so impacted by sediment. So this would improve the efficiency of the hydroelectric facility. In short, that's the project, Mr. Chair.
Questions, members? Hearing none. Okay, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Torkelson, I have kind of the same questions as I asked Representative Poppy and Fabian. Is there a watershed district, or is there a utility that, I mean, is there any other entity that's involved in the watershed that would provide a local match or local leadership on this?
Well, the Redwood Cottonwood. And I always get this acronym. Redwood Cottonwood Rivers Control Area Association has been very involved with the work to reduce sedimentation to the lake. They've been in existence for a long time, along with Area 2. I think you're familiar with Area 2 down there, that has installed a number of sediment control projects in the basin. So there's been a large investment of time and funds into the basin to reduce sediment into the lake.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Torkelson, and is there, through the Soil and Water Districts, is there CREP initiatives there? Has there been some easements that are into the basin as well? Or is it just the state money going to Area 2 and then being spent there?
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do not, and Representative Hansen, I don't have the details on that in front of me. I can get more information for you. I'm sure there are, in that large watershed, I know there have been significant investments in CRP, CREP, and other land set-aside programs, and otherwise they wouldn't have reached this dramatic decline in sedimentation.
Follow-up? Okay. Members, any further questions? Hearing none, we'll renew the motion to it's laid over, okay, on House File 1473. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Very good. Next up is Representative Hansen, House File 1414. 414. Excuse me, 414.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would proceed. Move House File 414 for possible inclusion. And I do have an oral amendment.
Okay. Ms. Taylor, are you ready? Proceed with the oral amendment.
And Mr. Chair, and this is House File 414 is the Minnesota Reinvest Minnesota Reserve Program. I had drafted this bill and had it introduced last year. The governor's bonding proposal subsequently was asking for $30 million instead of $25 million. You'll note the low number of a House file here. So on line 1.6, after the A in the appropriation, would strike $25 million and insert $30 million,
correct?
$30 million.
Yep.
And the same on line 1.21, strike $25 million, insert $30 million. And I would move that oral amendment to get in the shape I'd like.
Okay. Ms. Taylor?
Mr. Chair, members, the amendment would read on line 1.6, delete $25 million and insert $30 million. And on line 1.21, delete $25 million and insert $30 million.
Any questions? Seeing none, those in favor of the oral amendment to get it in the shape the author would like, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And House File 414, as amended, is a continuation of the successful Reinvest in Minnesota program. It is part of the governor's PREP initiative, where we meld state money and federal money for conservation easements. We do have staff from the Board of Water and Soil Resources here if there are questions, but I think if you look in your packet, you will see the proposed CREP area. And when we talk about all these acronyms, CREP, Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, is taking the federal CRP program and the state Reinvest in Minnesota program and being able to leverage those dollars. These dollars could go for wildlife projects, water quality projects, buffer projects. And Mr. Chair, I know this is an interest of yours. These are not fee title acquisitions. These are easements. So the property owner, in compensation for some of the rights, still pays property taxes and is able to utilize the property. So it's not a fee title purchase, but it's an easement purchase. And I know you like that.
Thank you, Representative Hansen.
Thank you.
Appreciate you recognizing that.
You're actually blushing a little bit. You'll see with the on page 2 of the handout with the state map, you'll see the prairie corridors in western and southwestern Minnesota. But it also on the purple watersheds, those are where there's the Minnesota Agricultural Water Quality Certification pilot projects. So the idea here is to take a variety of these programs, put them together, and try to enhance the various dollars, whether they're state, local, and federal. We know that the soil and water districts can put this in, so Representative Torkelson, that was why I asked the question about CREP and CRP, that these type of easements could go in helping some of those watershed issues. So the practices, 4 points, grass filter strips, wetland restoration, in non-floodplain wetland restoration in the floodplain, Representative Poppy, so can help out there. We've done some of that already. And then wellhead protection areas, so we start to look at water quality issues. And it has the outcomes. And then on the back, you can see the federal money and the state funding. A large amount of money. This is a small start, even though $30 million is a lot of money. But I think the key is it can leverage additional dollars and help. Whenever we have CREP or RIM, we have a large amount of landowner interest, more people than can apply. And so what that does, that ensures that we're getting the best, because they have to meet criteria for water quality, for wildlife habitat. When you have a large amount of asks, you can look through and pick the best on a prioritization scheme. So that helps out, make sure that those dollars are spent wisely and effectively.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Questions? Representative Ublum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hansen, why the increase from 25 to 30 million?
Well, I was ahead of the curve and wrote 25, and I think that was before the formal CREP. Mr. Chair, Representative Ublum, that was before the formal CREP proposal. And so putting as part of the Pheasant Summit and then the Buffer Initiative, looking at how you can get dollars to help pay for some of these practices, the formal submission of the CREP proposal went to the USDA federal government, I think, in December. And so this is that first step. So that's why I increased it, and that's why I wanted to make sure we were putting forward the formal request.
Follow up.
So what will the additional $5 million get us?
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and Representative Ublum, that'll get us more capacity to deal with the demand. And I think maybe I can phone a friend here on the demand for the last sign-up. I think there was 5 to 7 million available, and there were 46 million in requests, something like that. Bowser will be able to give the exact number. So again, you can prioritize and look at those best projects, and there's a lot of them.
Here's the phone a friend. Identify yourself for the record, please.
Mr. Chair, members, Angie Becker-Kadelka, Assistant Director with the Board of Water and Soil Resources.
Proceed.
So to answer the question about demand, in the last sign-up that we had for RIM buffers, we had $37 million in unfunded easement applications. After our June 2014 sign-up, we had approximately $9.4 million to allocate. And so the landowner demand there, we actually stopped taking sign-ups after we had gotten to that amount. The RIM wetlands program, the last sign-up we had there, we had $43 million in backlog where demand exceeded available funding.
Representative Uglum?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Torkelson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hansen, I thought I knew every acronym in this area, but I see one that I don't know. That's ALE.
Representative Hansen? NMA.
On the back page.
You don't know what ALE is?
What's that?
You don't know what ale is?
Well, I know India Pale Ale and other ales like that, but they usually use only one capital letter. This uses three. Yeah.
Go ahead. Ms. Becker-Kadelka.
Mr. Chair, members, it stands for Agricultural Land Easements. It's part of a federal program with the USDA and NRCS.
And Representative Hansen.
And Mr. Chair and Representative Torkelson. If you remember in the last farm bill, there was like grassland, there was a variety of acronyms, and they put them into one. And I think ALE was so we could remember it easily.
Thank you for re-informing me.
Thank you. Any other questions? The chair has a question. Representative Hansen, you did a good job on the on your first comment towards directed at the chair. I have one for you. I noticed on your map that you handed out that much of northern Minnesota is not colored red. Can you tell me what is the difference between the red area in the map and the non-shaded area in the map?
Mr. Chair, I believe the CREP proposal was looking at either the prairie pothole reeds, essentially the non-conifer, non-upper grassland region, looking more at the prairie pothole and having those prairie connections. So with the, and I think, you know, to be frank, the concerns about land ownership with public ownership in those areas in northern Minnesota, this is focusing on that southern two-thirds where it's more prairie pothole, water quality, prairie remnant. As you know, Mr. Chair, we've spent quite a bit of time in northwestern Minnesota with some of the tall grass prairies in the upper northwest. This is looking at some of the connections and trying to include those water quality certification areas and the Bonanza Valley groundwater management area where water quality is an issue. If you go back to that wellhead protection piece, looking at that. And if I'm wrong on that?
So, Representative Hansen, and maybe Ms. Becker-Kadelka, help me out here. Is the CREP program in statute as it currently is laid out, or why would this not extend up, I'll just say, to the Red River Valley and those areas of the state? I'm scratching my head. Ms. Becker-Kadelka.
Mr. Chair, members, so the CREP proposal requires us to have, through the USDA Farm Service Agency, it requires us to target a specific area of the state. And then we're also, so it was a part of a five-state agency process that included Bowser, DNR, PCA, Department of Health, and Department of Ag. And taking a look at existing studies that have been done, the nutrient reduction strategy, and looking at prairie pheasant plan. And so what we tried to do is we tried to target areas that, one, had a cropping history, that's a requirement for the proposal, and two, really focusing in on areas where we can get the best public benefit for the public dollars. And so we were looking at targeting areas that have, you know, the highest areas of nitrogen and phosphorus concentrations and targeting areas that these strategies have identified.
Representative Hansen.
And Mr. Chair, just to follow up on that, so if I go in to sign up some of my farmland into the Conservation Reserve Program, I have to have a cropping history. So if it's in trees, it probably doesn't have the cropping history. I haven't gone into USDA and locked in that I've planted corn and soybeans and registered that. So that cropping history is a key part when we meld those two things together. The ask that we have in the bill is the RIM Reserve Program. And those programs also, if we look back to the Rushford flood, we provided RIM dollars to try to handle
bluffs and things like that that may not have had a cropping history, and we specifically wrote rim so it could be used for that. This ask, because of the huge demand that we've had for these traditional conservation programs and the need to prioritize and to target, that's why the state government cooperatively put forward the request in the map that you have.
Thank you. Well, Representative Hansen, I think that you and I can continue some discussions about this to see if we can, but any other questions, members? Hearing none, House File 414 is laid over. Next we have Representative Hansen again, House File 183. And before we go there, we have the distinct honor of having the always charming Representative Tom Rukavina in the room. Representative Rukavina, thank you for being here. And I know he's been to Thief River Falls a couple of times, too. Proceed, Representative Hansen.
He wants to testify. Mr. Chair, I'd move House File 183 for possible inclusion.
Okay.
Be held over for possible.
To be laid over.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Proceed.
House File 183, again, this is a low House File number. I submitted it early last year. This is an issue that keeps coming forward for inflow and infiltration. And it's asking for $10 million for bond proceeds for grants to cities. Now, earlier in the day, we had some discussion about public issue or public ownership and private ownership. And I want to be clear on this. For a bonding ask, this is for the public ownership of the infrastructure with inflow infiltration, not the private. So this is for grants to cities to deal with those capital costs for issues that happen when we have essentially leaking pipes and we're losing water through the system and having the potential for groundwater contamination. And I do have staff available if there are any questions.
Question, members? We have somebody who wants to testify from the public. Patricia Nauman, is it?
Yes.
From Metro Cities. Please identify yourself for the record and who you represent.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chair and members, my name is Patricia Nauman. I'm the Executive Director of Metro Cities, and I just want to be on the record as offering strong support for House File 183. This bill would provide some very important and relative to what the cost of this problem really is across the region, relatively modest level of assistance to cities that are compelled by the Metropolitan Council to make repairs to their local infrastructure to address the excess levels of inflow and infiltration that end up flowing into the regional wastewater pipe, which is not built to accommodate this level of issue. So this does provide some very important assistance to those communities. And at last count, I believe there were 77 communities that have been identified throughout the region by the Metropolitan Council as needing to address their local infrastructure. So they would be eligible to apply for this funding if you were to pass the bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Questions, members? Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. My question has to do with the prioritization of these projects. Do you maintain a prioritized list similar to PFA, or are these first come, first served type of grants?
Ms. Nauman. Oh, Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and Representative Torkelson, I believe, and maybe Representative Hausman can help me out on this, but I think we had rider language in previous ones about looking at where there was a potential for groundwater contamination to prioritize those first because the demand is very high. I mean, you can prioritize based on ability to pay, and you can prioritize based on the threat to water quality, even though we've got the water quantity issue here with sandy soils and the potential of that back leakage, which could carry nitrates out. I think we had rider language that said we wanted water quality, and maybe Ms. Nauman.
Mr. Chair, members, not recalling the specific language offhand, but what the previous appropriations for addressing this issue have been appropriated to the Metropolitan Council, and we've worked with council staff to establish a program cities that are on the Metropolitan Council's list as contributing excess levels of influent infiltration are compelled to make the repairs. Otherwise, they're surcharged by the council because the burden on the regional wastewater pipe is compelling the Metropolitan Council to establish regulations for cities to fix the issue. So what we've done is worked with them to put together a grant program by which cities that are facing serious issues have access to the funds and would be eligible to apply. But they do have to be making repairs that fit into eligibility criteria. And Mr. Ouellette from the Metropolitan Council might also be able to add some information, more specifics.
Representative Torkelson?
Well, yeah, that'd be great. So yep. I'd be happy to hear more.
Mr. Ouellette, come forward, please.
I'm curious if there's, you know, how demand, I'm sure demand outstrips the funds available, and I'm curious about how, you know, the who pays how much.
Mr. Ouellette, would you please identify yourself for the record and who you represent?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jason Ouellette. I'm an assistant general manager with the Metropolitan Council Environmental Services Division. We own and operate the wastewater system in the Twin Cities. So we have had a number of appropriations for this program in the past, and in all cases, the demand has exceeded by quite a bit what's been available. You'll notice that the language has said up to 50%, and what we've actually done is, first of all, only reduced it to costs that relate to I&I, but those eligible costs, then we were reducing the percentage that we would reimburse the city, so it would be less than 50% when we didn't have enough money. They would have to put up more of the local funds to accomplish those repairs.
Representative Torkelson,
So if I understand this correctly, any city that's required to do a project gets some sort of a grant if there's funds available?
Mr. Ouellette. Representative Torkelson, so we do have this list of those that have had measured excessive inflow and infiltration. The first thing to understand is that almost everywhere where you have sewer pipes, there's some level, and we plan for that, we engineer for that. The excessive level is another engineering determination. Each city has a goal. It's, if I may oversimplify, because I'm a finance guy, not an engineer, it's like two or three times the dry weather flow. But depending on the mileage of the pipe and the surface area and the square area served, it is a little bit different from place to place. Each city has a goal. If we measure their rate of flow, so this is the rate of flow coming by our meters, in excess of that, they go on our list. They're required to spend some money. We would like to help them through this program. What we've done in the previous allocation, too, you'd allowed us to set guidelines, and we said those that were close to being on that line, that threshold, within 20%, were also eligible to apply. And that's where the 77 communities numbers come from. There have been like 59, however, though, that have actually gotten money and done improvements with 50%. Or less of this money.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Mm-hmm. Hearing none, with that, House File 183 is laid over. Next up, we have House File 1273, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'd move House File 1273 to be laid over for possible inclusion.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and this is a trail project. I do have an amendment as well, an oral amendment on dollar amount. It's not $5 million.
So, Ms. Taylor, sharpen your pencil. Representative Hansen, proceed with your oral amendment, please.
Mr. Chair, on line 1.6, after the word appropriation, instead of $787,500, strike $787,500 and insert 824,000. So instead of 787,000, 824,000. And the same change on line 1.12.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Ms. Taylor, you have that? Repeat that, please.
Mr. Chair, members, it'd be on line 1.6, delete 787,500 and insert 824,000. And then again on line 1.12, delete 787,500 and insert 824,000.
All those in favor of the oral amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Proceed with your presentation, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is a trail project in the metro area. I want to kind of give you a context where you're at. If you leave the Capitol and you're going south over 35E, the 35E bridge over the river, and you look upriver towards the confluence, you're going to see a trailhead below. And so that's right at the confluence, which the Mndewakanton call the center of the universe. So this is a trailhead near the center of the universe, so we need to have parking. We need to make sure we got enough parking.
I thought Rosa was the center of the universe.
It moved. So this, and then that 824 would have a match, so there would be a match here with bond proceeds. The project scope is design, engineering, and construction of the parking lot, a new restroom building. There's estimated to be about 134,000 trips per year to the site. We have a porta potty there right now. That's my understanding. So this would build a new restroom building and a picnic area to serve the regional trail. It's a key area, you know, right in the center of the universe. And this would help enhance the site and make it more usable. It also would make sure we would be ADA compliant and have good access to this site. The attendance is growing at this. And it's a great connection to the trails going down the river into the southern, southwestern suburbs.
Questions? Hearing none, House File 1273 is laid over.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Rachel? Representative McNamara, we forgot to introduce Rachel Buckles, our new committee helper here. So, well, just because, so you have to tell us a little bit about yourself, where you came from, and what costumes you used to wear.
My name is Rachel Buckles, and unfortunately, I did not get to work at Disney World, but I have visited there, and it truly is a magical place. I have the unique opportunity of growing up both in outstate Minnesota as well as here in the Twin Cities. And I'm committee legislative assistant, and I'm excited to be here.
Thank you, Rachel. And we've got great staff all throughout this place, so thank you to all staff all the time. Anything else before the committee? We're adjourned.